My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. Do you ever have the sensation that something is missing in your life? Most of us do. We pursue our careers, relationships, build families and communities, and yet there's a perceived disconnect, a knowing that there is something more, a higher calling, purpose, or mission that's just within our reach if we could only remember. My guests this week on Destination Unlimited, Drs. Ron and Mary Honick, say we can remember and learn to live that higher purpose. Ron and Mary are pioneers and worldwide leaders in the field of spiritual psychology, as well as teachers and facilitators of awakening in consciousness. They are renowned educators, authors, and the founding faculty and co-directors of the University of Santa Monica, where they have designed, developed, and facilitated educational programs for the past 35 years. Both are licensed marriage and family therapists, and Mary is also a licensed clinical psychologist. They're the authors of Loyalty to Your Soul, The Heart of Spiritual Psychology, published by Hay House, and they join us this week to discuss their latest book, Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. Please welcome Ron and Mary Honick. Good evening.
Well, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. We're delighted to be here with you, Victor.
And thank you for sharing your time with us this evening. Let's start with your personal paths. How did they evolve, and how did the two of you begin your partnership?
Oh, my goodness.
Why don't you go first, Ron?
Well, I was always involved in things like UFOs and ESP, and I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And I had, access to some of the teachers going back, like Swami Satchidananda and people like that. And so I always had a kind of a sense of the mystery of it. And then that evolved when I met my first teacher in New Mexico, and she introduced me to experiences that took me into this other place. Let's call it within, where that you referenced as missing was no longer missing. And the feeling was one of total completeness, total loving, total always right with the world. The kind of stories that we hear a lot about. And then the rest of it was learning how to take that out into the world, and that involved my teacher told me that I needed to go back and get a doctorate degree, which I really didn't want to do. I had had enough with the master's degree. But he said, well, you're not going to really learn anything, but you need that credential to do the work that you've come here to do. And I did learn things, but they didn't tell me this part, and that was the best part. That's where I met Mary.
Yes, well, and we met in New Mexico, but my path to New Mexico was one of going directly from my undergraduate work into a master's degree program, and which was 2 years, and then 3 years into a doctoral program. And I think that one of the most significant things for me was that when I completed my doctorate, though I had a lot of information and knowledge, I didn't feel like I really knew anything. And so that was somewhat unsettling, to say the least, but it deepened my inquiry into the important questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's really the purpose and meaning of life? And so I worked for 3 years in a counseling center on a university campus in Idaho, and then decided that I really felt called to full-time teaching, and landed my ideal scene position in New Mexico, and I met Ron a few months later. He actually came to my classroom door one evening and introduced himself. He said, I'm going to be a doctoral student starting the program next fall, or actually next quarter. And I recognized him. It was very unsettling. And I said to him, well, why would you want to do that? And he just gave me this strange look. And of course, it gave me a moment to regain my composure. And I said, well, fine, have a seat in the back. You're welcome. And I didn't see him again until a doctoral seminar, probably about 4 months later. So that's how we met. And what can I say? The rest is history. Ours has been really a happy marriage with a emphasis on our work together and just the joy of serving people in their awakening.
And that's been going on for some 37 years now.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I think you brought out some very special points in your discussion of your foundational paths and relationship. And that's that when we start asking questions, the teachers will come to start answering those questions. And through the gift of synchronicity and pursuing that, we find the path that we truly need to be on and are called to be upon. And I think that's wonderful that you shared that with us. Thank you.
And it does seem to work that way.
Absolutely. Now, what is spiritual psychology and what are the benefits of its practice?
Well, if we look at the word psychology, the foundation of it is psyche, of course. And the word psyche really means, if you look that up in the dictionary, you'll find soul, breath of life, spirit, things of that nature. But if you look up psychology, you find the study of mind and behavior. And so psychology really got hijacked in a very real way into something that it was thought would help more people. But in doing that, it really took the essence out of it. And so for us to call what we do spiritual psychology, in a sense, is redundant. But at the same time, it sounds the note of what's different about it, that we're bringing it back to what it was originally inspired for in the first place. My first teacher used to say the reason that psychology was inspired onto the planet is because humanity had forgotten why it was here. And so we've kind of taken that back up again, and that's what we've been doing for all these years. And the thing that makes it unique is that when you start to do this, you can teach it as a subject like they would in typical universities, and you could take lots and lots and lots of courses. But these are courses, they teach you knowledge. They teach you about something. Our courses, on the other hand, are highly, and always have been, highly, highly, highly experiential. Because the way you convert knowledge into knowing is through experience. So you can take as many programs or courses as you want, but if you don't get to really experience the thing, then you're just going to wind up knowing about it. It would be like reading books about swimming. You could read as many books as you want, but you won't know how to swim until and unless you get into the water.
And what are the benefits of the practice of spiritual psychology?
Well, they're nothing less than awakening into the awareness of who you truly are, of having experiences of your essential nature, the authentic self. And the principles and practices really assist you in learning how to live life in that awakened state. And that is a life of great meaning, purpose, fulfillment, creativity, inner knowing, and really a path in which I think people feel so much more fully alive and fulfilled.
Let me give you an example of the profoundness of the shift. And it has a lot to do with the way that people see themselves in the world. And we're taught to look at the world and think that our experience is based on what's happening out there. And that's the knowing about approach. But it turns out that that isn't really what it is. That if you start to really work with the place inside where you're having the experience, a whole other dimension of ways to work with yourself opens up.
The whole concept of this being experiential in nature is so important. I had a wonderful teacher many years ago who said that we are the experiential extension of the creative force of the universe. And in essence, we are here to do the experiencing for God as we perceive God. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. We do agree with that, that we take a body for the purpose of awakening, of remembering, and that we are the extension of God. And it is through our lives and our experience that God experiences all things.
My guests are Dr. Mary and Ron Hulnick. They're the authors of Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. And we'll be back with more of Mary and Ron after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Oh, hi. Right now, I'm getting a remarkably heartfelt bear hug from Smokey Bear. Thanks, big guy. Now, if you could let me down. See, I made sure there were no low-hanging branches when I set up my campfire. And before we left, I drowned out my campfire, stirred it, drowned it out again, then made sure it was cold. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guests this evening, Drs. Mary and Ron Hulnick, they're the authors of Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. Ron and Mary, we live in a world filled with noise and chatter and often feel the need to tune out. But listening to one another, truly listening and hearing with compassion and understanding are so important. How can we learn to do this?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because the earliest, the very most foundational skills that we teach people, or I shouldn't say we teach them, that we introduce them to, the very, very, very first weekend of classes in the program, are things like heart-centered listening and what we call perception checking, where it shifts the emphasis from making your point in a conversation and having the conversation be about making your point to the goal is, do you, the degree to which you truly understand what the other person is attempting to communicate? So when you have two people having that quality of conversation, the conversation just goes into a whole different direction.
You know, and what I would add is that The essence of a heart-centered listening is really listening with the ears of your heart, but it really requires also a different way of seeing, a seeing that involves, can I see the loving essence? Can I see the soul essence within this person? Look for the spark of the divine within them. And if those two skills together really change everything in terms of how we can be with each other, it allows us to see and be seen, to hear and to be deeply heard and understood.
The very first step in every skill that we teach pretty much says, center yourself in yourself, invoke your inner counselor. That's the wise part inside of you. So you do that through intention. So inherent is the sense that any time that you're starting a conversation, your orientation is going to be one of, oh gosh, here is another one of divine beings that is experiencing life on this planet. I wonder what we can learn from each other. You start out with that purpose in every conversation, your whole world's going to change.
Absolutely. Do you have an extension of your university that can be placed in Washington, D.C. by any chance?
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Can you imagine if all of our political leaders would adapt the principles of heart-centered listening? Oh.
It would change everything. You know, and it's so interesting that you say that because our perspective is the time is at hand for conscious leadership.
Absolutely. You know, in fact, the Department of Education only values experiential education at 50% of the class hour production of didactic teaching, if you can imagine that.
How important is it for us to emphasize with our children and our systems of education the importance of not only making it an intellectual exercise, but truly extend to an experiential exercise?
It's so critical. You know, there needs to be really education of the whole person. The mind is only one aspect of an individual. And so a holistic education, an education of the heart, is so important. And an education that acknowledges the spiritual essence and the spiritual context in which we're living. You know, really, we call our work spiritual psychology because the truth is psychology has been somewhat hijacked and focused on the mind and emotions rather than what it really was intended to be on the planet, which is really the study of the soul.
You know, experiential education was the subject of a relatively short conversation we had with the Dalai Lama some years ago at a meeting of presidents and provosts of universities in Canada. We happened to be invited because we knew the gentleman who was putting on the event. And so he had us at the meeting, so we were participants. And you're supposed to ask a question. You know, most of the questions from our point of view seem, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to ask the Dalai Lama about getting funding and things like that. So the mic gets passed to me, and I was not feeling well. And so I did my best to, I talked about experiential education and that there are ways, and we know what they are, and we use them to actually educate people about things like compassion experientially. And from our perspective, that's the direction that education of the future needs to go. And then because we had to ask a question, I said to him, what do you think about that? And he said, I agree immediately. And then And then there was this pause. And he turned to the whole rest of the group. There were probably about 30 people there. And he just said to them, he said, "I am learning from these people. You should all learn from these people." He knew that, but he hadn't even really thought about it before. But, you know, he caught on right away.
And isn't that what experiential extension is all about, is that bringing the message, sharing the message to each other, even those who have had years and years and years, lifetimes of compassionate work, and bringing them something new and that something that they can bring to others? I think that's really what the essence of this is all about.
We couldn't agree more.
Now, much of your work is based on soul-centered living. What is the essence of soul-centered living?
Well, if you're going to enter into the domain, and we make a distinction between physical world reality, which is the reality of our everyday lives, and spiritual reality. And the two are related but not dependent upon each other. So you can have people who are very awake spiritually, but they just don't have an awful lot of energy invested in the physical world, and they live rather frugally. So if we're going to live soul-centered lives from a practical point of view on this planet at this time, what we want is to find a way where we can blend the two with our student body, and that's what we have done. So we say, if you start doing this work in spiritual psychology, and lo and behold, what's the first thing we find? We quit blaming other people for the disturbances in our life, and we start taking 100% responsibility for them based on the notion that those experiences are in fact happening inside of us. So rather than by saying it's due to something outside, how about if we say, regardless of what's going on outside, it's happening inside of me. Can I work with it directly inside of me? And lo and behold, we found absolutely you can. In fact, that's the most effective way to do it. When you do it effectively, you give up the judgments, you give up the wrong making, which in turn makes you much more effective to be with people and produce results in this reality. It just doesn't matter as much because you're now in the place more and more of loving, and your relationships are getting better, and the quality of your life is improving, and you realize that's what's really important. So moving in that direction is what we refer to as soul-centered living.
Mary, anything to add?
Oh my goodness, it's such a big question. Soul-centered living really is the lifelong process of remembering who you really are, of awakening, of opening your heart and learning to live your life from the awareness. I'm a spiritual being. My essential nature is loving. I'm here to heal the issues that are inside of me. I'm here to share my gifts. I'm here to learn how to love unconditionally, to become a more accepting, compassionate, kind human being. And I think the part about becoming more aware of the giftedness of who people are, and then the opportunity to turn and share your gifts is a huge, huge part of this. Because as people resolve some of the deeper issues that have blocked them really from the awareness of the love that they are, they all of a sudden become aware of this amazing creativity and wisdom and joy and giftedness that they are, and their greatest joy really is to share that.
My guests this evening, Drs. Mary and Ron Holnick, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about this amazing work that you do.
Well, the book is available on Amazon. That's probably the easiest place to get it. We offer a foundational program in spiritual psychology through the University of Santa Monica,
which is essentially a year-long course that's given over a period of 10 months, one weekend a month, and then a five-day lab in the summertime. Because you really have to immerse yourself in practicing these things just because they're experiential. You can't really do it any other way.
Well, and also because it's a totally different context. You learn really over the course of time, these things become integrated. They become a way of being, and you're no longer seeing through ego-centered eyes, the eyes that tend to judge and create wrong-making.
For people who want to get a taste of this, once a year, which is coming up August 18th through 20th, we do a weekend Loyalty to Your Soul workshop. And it's a wonderful introduction, and you're not committing to a whole year, just to a weekend. You really come away with a sense of it because we do all the same things in that weekend that we do in the course, except, of course, more of them in the course.
And what is the website that people can look at to get all that information?
universityofsantamonica.edu.
And we'll be back with more of Remembering the Light Within with Drs. Ron and Mary Honig after these words from the Om Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you in an interfaith relationship and thinking of getting married? For 18 years, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has been creating personalized, loving, and romantic ceremonies for couples of all faiths and cultural backgrounds. Reverend Lori Sue's sensitivity to the needs of interfaith couples is reflected in the compassionate and inclusive way she addresses the concerns of parents and families. Reverend Lori Sue is also the author of several best-selling books on interfaith weddings and wedding vows. Selected as one of the top interfaith officiants by New York Magazine, Reverend Lori Sue serves couples in the New York metropolitan area and beyond. Find out more at her website, yourinterfaithwedding.com.
Hello! Join us, Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter, every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible? Get ready to become present, clear, and unstuck, and start living fully, led by your heart. While you listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song, you'll open up to what's possible and experience your shift.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
And back on Destination Unlimited, my guests this evening, Drs. Mary and Ron Honig, they're the authors of Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. So we talk about remembering the light within. Why have we forgotten it?
Well, really, if you think about it, we had to have forgotten it in order to have this physical world reality. Otherwise, there would be very little learning involved if you went from heaven to heaven. So there has to be what we refer to as a plane of duality where there's positive and negative, because you can't, for example, have light if there's no dark. Otherwise, there's no dimension. It doesn't make any sense. So Earth is the place that souls come to in order to have certain kinds of experiences. And so here we are. We call it remembering, not nearly so much in the sense of recalling in our memory, but remembering, renewing our membership to the body of spiritual beings. In the Christian world, it would be remembering ourselves to the body of Christ. So in order to remember, you have to have forgotten to some degree. Otherwise, you couldn't remember. So it's a functionality kind of a thing, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. And I think what people have to remember is that membership is open to everyone.
That's
right.
Yes.
Yes, it truly is. You know, and I think just coming into a body ensures spiritual amnesia, that we will forget and our essential nature, and that is part of the great opportunity of life, is to love and be loved and to be aware that we are here in service to a greater purpose.
So in essence, the life that we lead in this three-dimensional world is like a giant classroom, isn't it?
It is exactly like a giant classroom.
We say Earth is a school, and we each come here with our own unique spiritual curriculum. And our spiritual curriculum includes the issues that we came to heal. It includes the gifts that we came to share. And it includes certain life experiences that will be the spiritual opportunities, which can become the stepping stones to remembering.
In the Eastern tradition, that spiritual curriculum is known as karma, but that has gotten a negative connotation to it. All it really means is to learn lessons that we have yet to learn by being here. That's all it means. And some of those lessons have resulted in emotional suffering, which really is nothing more than a feedback mechanism that says, hey, here's an area where you're not clear. And so if you start to look at it from that perspective, then you realize there's nothing really to be upset about. Upsettedness is just a form of judgment, thinking that we know what's best. Nothing egotistical about that, you know, but that's the way that we hold it. And this is what's being played out across the entire planet. We're really a relatively young species.
You know, it's funny. Many, many years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I had a visitation with someone who was a gifted reader. And she told me that I was an old soul. And I said, if I'm such an old soul, I connected with that. That made sense to me, that I'd been around before and many, many times before. I said, well, why do I keep coming back? She says, you haven't graduated yet. And at the time she said that, it didn't resonate with me. But later in life now, I understand exactly what she was saying.
Yeah, and sometimes what we have not learned, we're just kind of hanging on by a thread. Because if we didn't have something here, we wouldn't be here. We couldn't exist if we didn't have some negativity that held us into this reality.
Absolutely. Now, what suggestions do you have for those wanting to find the way to soul-centered living but are afraid of stepping out of their comfort zone into the unknown?
Well,
I think one of the things that can be tremendously helpful is some information. That we all have an ego, which consists primarily of the mind and the emotions, and that the mind and emotions operate inside duality. When we look through ego-centered eyes, we see right, wrong, good, bad. There's a propensity towards judgment. And I think becoming aware of the ego and becoming aware that one of the things that characterizes the ego is that it seeks what is familiar, familiarity. And so we all have our comfort zones. And yet, what I would say, life in many respects begins when you're willing to risk stepping beyond your comfort zones. I'm not talking about doing things that would be a reflection of poor judgment, but rather allowing ourselves to open up to the possibility, opening our mind, opening our hearts, that there is, in fact, something more going on here. And by stepping free of my comfort zone, I can at least allow myself to consider some other possibilities.
You know, this is one of the main values of the large group experiential processes. I mean, you know, sometimes we'll have 200, 250 people in a class. So you may be one of the people that's sitting there and you're saying, whoa, I'm not going to do that. That's too scary for me. But then as the time goes on, you see various people in your class that you have been in process with and that you're starting to get to know. You see them daring to step out and you see the gains that they find in so doing. And that tends to give you a greater level of courage to dare to take the risk yourself. And that's very, very, very important because it's much easier to hold on to your ego's position if there's no other contrary evidence that is readily available that you can utilize to say, well, look, this person did this and look what they got. I think we should at least try it. So you start to change your case, let's call it, the structure of the way that your consciousness works based upon the experience that you're having in the class. And as I said, that's one of the big values, big benefits, we think, of the class itself.
Absolutely. By seeing the way others transcend their limiting beliefs, you too then understand that you can transcend those beliefs.
Right, because they're not any more special than you.
I think the other thing is that if you become aware that one of the dynamics that operates in consciousness is control, and that is the master addiction, and so we're attempting to maintain things as they are so that we can feel comfortable, so we can feel secure, then we start to understand that the inevitable resistance that people will experience when they bump up against the edges of their comfort zone. And yet, it's so essential if we're to experience greater freedom, greater liberation, and aliveness.
I was going to say, it's funny that as a younger man in my early 20s and through my early 30s, if I were confronting an issue or a challenge, in my mind, I always made it out to be greater than it actually was when I got on the other side. And I don't know where that came from in a previous lifetime or something that was triggered in me, but I always found that nothing was as bad in my imagination as it was when I transcended it and went through it in reality.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that is what people see in the classes. And it gives them the courage to dare to move forward.
Now, we were talking about the Earth as a school, and Mary, you said we all choose our specific curriculum from the sharing of our gifts to unresolved issues. Is there a healing to be found in our unresolved issues if we learn to recognize them and reframe them as blessings?
Yes, there is an incredible healing. The thing about reframing issues as blessings, rather than experiencing or seeing ourselves as victims and at the effect of what happens, rather we begin to look at these situations and circumstances that we experience as challenging, both outwardly in terms of what we have to deal with in physical world reality, inwardly in terms of the domain of our thoughts and our feelings about them. We can reframe them and recognize this is an opportunity. What is the spiritual opportunity? Is it to be more accepting of myself? Is it to develop greater self-compassion? Is it to learn to stand up in the strength of my heart and to speak my truth? There are so many beautiful opportunities for growth that are presented, and often they do come packaged as challenges.
See, an unresolved issue is defined as anything that disturbs your peace. So anything you get upset about. The fact that you get upset about something is simply a feedback mechanism that tells you that's where you have work to do. Because to the degree that you heal that issue, that very same thing will happen. It no longer disturbs your peace. You may still choose to take action, but you won't take action from a disturbed place. You'll take the action from a loving place. And that makes all the difference. Because as long as you take action from a disturbed place, all you are doing, I don't care how great your vision is and your words are, if you take action from a disturbed place, all you are doing is adding to the sum total of disturbance that's present on the planet. That's not the way.
Their book is called Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. And we'll be back with Drs. Mary and Ron Holnick after these words from the OM Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food. We've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food. Because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yolito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to a pop concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
Or B, just roll with it.
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Destination Unlimited. My guest this evening, Ron and Mary Holnick, the authors of Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. So the ego tends to have a negative connotation. What are some of the ways we can learn to use the ego as a beneficial tool in our awakening?
So let's first start out by saying it's not that the ego has a negativeness about it. It's the fact that it is really doing its best to operate in this kind of a dualistic reality. It's our tool for getting things done in this world. If you had no ego, the person had no ego, you'd probably just retreat to a cave somewhere and just live in bliss for the rest of your life. So it's through the ego that we live our lives here. The trick is to get the ego to let go of its perceived role as the ruler of your consciousness and to take its rightful place as the servant of your soul. That's where you wind up as you do this work.
You talk in the book about authentic self-referenced thinking. What are the benefits of learning this skill?
Oh, they are immeasurable.
How much time do you have?
Keep going. We're here for you.
Yeah, I think it's helpful to contrast ego-referenced thinking and authentic self-referenced thinking, because ego-referenced thinking tends to occur inside the duality. It tends to see what's good and what's bad. It tends to be judgmental in nature. And authentic self-referenced thinking is, as Rumi said, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing. There is a field. I'll meet you there. So when we're involved in authentic self-referenced thinking, it's neutral. It's not judgmental. We then are free to really see what is, to see and accept what is without entering into judgment, which then creates that terrible pain of separation inside ourselves. What would you add, Ron?
The ego is self-referenced. How does this affect me, whatever the it is? And this has its own set of ideals and ideas about the way things should be. And much of that is culturally based. Comes out of the culture we grew up in. And of course, there's tons of variability in that. Just look around the world and we see it. The soul, on the other hand, doesn't have that. Its reality is simply loving. So it never asks, what does this mean for me? It will always ask, what does this mean in terms of loving? How can I affect whatever is going on right now so that there's more loving present for everyone who is involved? That's a whole big different proposition. Most people on this planet at this time are nowhere near that. That's not a bad thing. It's just a statement of our level of maturity as a species. I don't know if you're familiar with David Hawkins' work at all, Power versus Force, but he makes a very clear, he delineates that in a very, very clear way. So you have to find ways, if you're the more responsible, enlightened person, the responsibility really is on you to use what you now know and what you've come into to assist others. And those others may disagree with you vehemently. Nevertheless, your responsibility is to still do your best so that you can enter into a relationship with them that would be probably defined as mutually beneficial. I think that's the way of the future. We're really going to move into that more and more and more over the next several hundred years.
Our prayer, our mutual prayer, yeah. Believe me, absolutely.
Yeah.
In remembering the light within, you talk about goal lines and soul lines. Now, what are goal lines and soul lines, and how do we move beyond the goal line?
Well, the goal line really is reference to physical world reality. Mm-hmm. It's the level in which life plays out. It has to do with our relationships, our career, our work in the world, our health, our finances, all the things that we reference here in terms of the outer experience.
And success is measured on that line as having more positive experiences in your life than you did previously. So more money, a better job, a better relationship, all of that kind of stuff. I guess never growing old is part of that.
We haven't figured out the key to that one yet.
Actually, I was 64 in January, and somebody says, how do you feel? And I said, I feel like I'm 17. So I have that level of energy in me and that enthusiasm, greater probably than I had when I was in my 30s.
I understood. The soul line, on the other hand, is simply becoming more and more and more aware. So it's not that a person growing in awareness is learning more things. It's not that. You reach a point where you realize you're learning the same thing over again, but it has more meaning for you. It's at a deeper level than what it was, than you understood it before. And so we have people in class, they'll have an experience and they'll stand up and share. And this is very common for us. They'll say, you know, I thought I knew this, but I just had an experience and I realized I had no idea. And then that just keeps going.
What the soul line does, it provides entrance to the spiritual context, into the reality where the universe is love, God is love, our essential nature is loving, and that we have the opportunity to live more fully into that awareness, into that reality, into that experience inside ourselves. And so it is so profound. It just opens a huge doorway into experiences in life that are mystical, that are filled with compassion and joy. I think it opens up for many people greater awareness of the power of the path of service. And what can I say? Just living a life that has greater meaning.
See, and this is why the whole context of spiritual psychology is so important. It's literally retraining ourselves to see things, to make sense of things in a whole different way. For example, again, if this was a Christian context, Christ said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, any ego looking around the world is going to say, that's ridiculous. This is heaven. What are we all, poor achievers? I mean, this is terrible. But if you go deeper and you understand the spiritual context, he said, heaven is at hand right now, but you have to learn how to see it that way and how to operate as if that were true. And that is really the sum and substance of what spiritual psychology is all about. It's not just a set of things you do and skills you learn. It's a whole different way of making sense of the world.
And it's really all about learning how to live the loving, but in a very practical, grounded kind of way.
You know, in Remembering the Light, you devote a whole chapter to living life as a prayer. Please share how to achieve this and what suggestions you have for those who are new to prayer.
Living your life as a prayer is kind of like, you know, if you say, if you have this realization of the spiritual reality and things are not going well and you're reacting negatively, then in this context, you understand that you're just not seeing clearly. So if you realize you're not seeing clearly, one of the obvious things you can do is you can say, all right, Lord, let's just call it, or whoever is in charge of this reality, please help me see more clearly. That's my prayer. And so you keep putting that forward. So it establishes a direction. It establishes a context for you to continue to grow in.
And I think the basic practice is learning to speak kind words.
Oh, boy.
That kindness as a spiritual practice is something that it's easy because there are so many opportunities in a given day to be present with someone else and to relate with them in a kind way, to ask Spirit, how is it that I can be of service here? How can I love them in a way that will be meaningful, not only to me, but also to them. And this can be such a simple practice. I think that part of what I love about it as a practice, it provides an opportunity to slow down, to be present here and now, to be conscious and intentional. Here's the people who are assisting me in the market, ringing up my purchases and packing up my groceries for me to bring them home. How can I be present with them in a way that acknowledges and respects them as divine? And small words, small kindnesses really can have a tremendous ripple effect.
The word kindness has to be preeminent in all of our minds and thoughts. My guest this evening on Destination Unlimited, Drs. Mary and Ron Holnick, the authors of Remembering the Light Within. Please share with our listeners one more time where they can get your book and find out more about your work.
Yes, the book is available on Amazon, Remembering the Light Within, and our website is universityofsantamonica.edu.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Truly a pleasure, Victor. Thank you so much.
We loved our time together.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.